Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Happy 4th of July. You know, worship was just so awesome there. It's been awesome all morning, even in our first service. But you know, when we just sang those two songs, we got to the second song and we had that pause in the middle of that second song, and I could just like feel the anointing of God fall into the room. And I don't know if anybody else is here could feel the tangible presence of God, but as he did that, I wanted to share a scripture with you that's put on my heart. It says in Revelations 4 in chapter 9, it says, whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, that is the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay down their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. They exist because you created what pleased you. You pleased God. He created you, please God. And I just want to share that scripture with you. Man, I am so excited to share with you today. I am fired up. I had a great week. We had a great week getting in the Word last week. And God's just going to build upon it here today. We had such an awesome time just a moment ago. But I just want to do a brief recap of last week's message. We took in over these 2 weeks what God put on my heart. Was to look at a couple of books in the Bible, the book of Luke first, and then into look at the book of Acts. And I want to dig in here a little bit. So I have an engineering background, mechanical engineering. I like to dig into things. So we're going to do a little bit about that. But our foundations are so important. So I want to take some time today to strengthen our foundation, because last week we taught on something so foundational. This week we're continuing on that, something so foundational to our Christian faith. But I want to do a quick recap. Last week, to sum up the message last week, is that the King has come for you. The King being Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one true God, and that he came for us. He came for us. We're literally the reason why Jesus came. So many of us will take in, and I know I used to do this myself, is I used to say that, God, I've done too much, I've sinned too much. We used to use whatever excuse we could, God, that you can't save me. And we took the scriptures and we broke it down in that thing. See, the enemy will want to attack us. That's the devil. And tell you that you've done too much for God to save you. And make you think that your sin, whatever that is unique. Like God wasn't aware of that sin when he called you. Like God wasn't aware that sin was going to happen when he sent Jesus to the cross to pay the sin debt for you and I. But that's not true. We saw that last week. See, the enemy likes to isolate us and make us think that our sin is unique to us, and that whatever we've done is too much for the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe last week we showed that just wasn't true. The thing that we think is separating or keeping us from the love of God is actually the reason he came. See, you can't be good enough for God. It's impossible. We get to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father without him. So we all go through Jesus. So what we think is keeping us from God is the actual thing that qualifies us for the grace of God. What we learned last week is that the King, that Jesus, has come for us individually. Just not the group in the room. Just not our neighbors. Just not our parents. God has come for us individually. So we're going to be digging in a little bit further, another foundational piece to our Christian walk here. I like to dig in. And so we want to focus on our foundations, because if our foundations are off, come on, if you were to build a house and the foundation was off, it's going to crumble and fall. So I want to help you have a very strong foundation here today. These are foundational pieces. If you were, if you've been to college after high school and you go and you've got these introductory class, like intro to English, maybe it's intro to algebra or geometry, what it is, you have these introductory classes. And so we've got a couple of introductory classes here. Last week, it was an introduction to Jesus, that he came for you. This week, it's going to be an introduction to his mission that he has for you. So I want to emphasize a little bit about the book of Acts that we're going to look at today. This is really Luke, book 2. So you got 1st Luke, and you really have 2nd Luke here today. We're going to look at the book of Acts. But Luke continues on in this second book that he wrote, and some interesting facts that we learn about Luke is Luke was a traveling companion to Paul. So Paul, if we read in the Bible, just many miracles, signs, and wonders. So Luke was witness to many of these. But Luke was also a Gentile or a non-Jew. Additionally, Luke was also a doctor or physician. And so when we look at these details, these are detailed accounts in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. It says in the Bible that Luke went into careful research of these accounts. And it makes sense. Luke is a doctor. Luke highlights that the gospel is for all people. I want to repeat that from last week. The gospel of Luke is for all people. And that's so important for each and every one of us here. And we exist as a church to help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. And so Luke highlights that in his gospel. Luke writes both of these books. You see it in the first chapter very early in each one of these, in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. He writes the books to a person called Theophilus. Now, we don't know if he's actually writing to a person, Theophilus, or if he's doing this figuratively. At this time, this name Theophilus was a very popular name. But the name has a very interesting meaning. Theophilus, the name Theophilus means lover or friend of God. So if you're a lover or friend of God in here today, this book is written to you. Is there anybody in here today that would say that I am a lover and a friend of God? What's interesting, Luke, a Gentile, he's kind of an outsider at this time. You know, in the gospel, he's kind of an outsider in this time as many of the Jews saw Jesus as the Messiah for the Jews and not necessarily for the Gentiles. Luke's a little bit of an outsider here at this time. And it's interesting, these two books that Luke writes, because he is a Gentile or he's an outsider, he's searching for proof for them. So Luke writes to Theophilus, who himself is another Gentile. So Luke is a Gentile or an outsider, writing to another Gentile or an outsider. I'm here to tell you, I don't know if you've ever felt like an insider or an outsider. You don't have to feel like an outsider in the kingdom of God. The gospel is written to all people, regardless of condition, regardless of race, regardless of nationality. The gospel is for you. It's just not for us. We make it us big and sometimes miss us individually. So I'm going to share our key scripture today. Acts 1:8, we're going to read it like 14 times. We're going to read a lot. I'm just joking, but we're going to read a couple times in here today. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, you may pick up on this scripture. Maybe you've read the scripture in the past, or maybe just hearing it here today, this morning, you hear a mission in this scripture. And I love that. I love mission. I don't know if you can tell by the haircut. I like mission. I was in the military. I'm action-oriented. I am mission-oriented. And I love hearing scriptures. I got all mission-oriented scriptures for us to share here today. I like action. The Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. But as I read this scripture, it may sound very familiar to another scripture that is oh so popular. It talks about the great commission, and that's in Mark chapter 16. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, we go on to see in the scriptures, we watch the apostles live this life out. And these scriptures I've shared from Mark and into Acts here, they've got an overarching theme. It's a mission to go out. That's a core mission here, telling everyone the good news of Jesus. Now see, I used to work in engineering until I came on staff at the church for many years. I worked in mechanical engineering, worked with some of the biggest companies in the world designing products for them, like here in this area would be probably popular, U.S. Steel. Worked for customers, Apple was a customer of ours, some very large companies. And I used to work in this mechanical engineering field, and see, God has gifted me, and then I've been trained through schooling to identify problems or issues, root failure causes in a thing, a process, a product. See, with this engineering background, I like details. Like I like a lot of details. I'm the detail guy, and I like to have details. And so we're digging in here. What I've learned in the past is if you get into the details, many times the cause of failure is the simplest thing in the process. It's the simplest part in the assembly. It's the simplest things. And so we've heard these scriptures so many times over the years that and we can think these things are so simple that we don't do them at all. See, what I believe, if I could submit to you in an issue or a failure, it's the application of these scriptures to our lives or in the just simplest form, applying to our lives. So if I could, see, it's not just enough to be hearers of the word only. We have to be doers of the word as well. So I believe, let me show you the breakdown where I feel like we have this application in our life. Mark 16 and 15 again. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this is the Great Commission. Come on, for many of us in here that have been believers for a while, this is the Great Commission, and we talk about it. But let's be honest here in church. Can we be honest here, church, on a Sunday morning, just for a moment here? We don't all live this out, do we? I mean, not many of us live this out. We all have valid reasons. We all have valid reasons. You know, I mean, let me talk about some of my reasons that I used to have for myself. These probably gonna sound familiar to you. That I don't know all the scriptures. Come on. That I don't know all the scriptures. I don't go into all the world and I don't preach because I don't know all the scriptures in this book. Come on, I used to use that reason. Another reason I used to use as an excuse, and Moses used to use this one as well, really, is I don't speak well in front of others. Come on, we use that, don't we? Maybe we're nervous or afraid of what people think. I don't know that do we ever outgrow that one? I hope that happens soon. I use that one. I want to encourage you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Let's think about this for a minute. Now, if you only had an hour left on earth, if you knew that, let's think about this. If you only had an hour left, you would probably say some pretty important things, right? That last hour on earth, if you knew you were leaving at that time, may be the most important. The things that you would say at that time would probably be the most important things that you've ever said. So let's look at this in Mark 16 and 15. This is one of the last things that Jesus says, and Jesus knows he's leaving. So he says in Mark 16, 15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So let's break this down to some bite-sized pieces here. See, I believe the failure mechanism here, and that is the application of our lives here, is that we get caught up in all in every. We get caught up in all and every. That's where the failure happens in us. We think if I can't reach all, I won't reach any. Right? So we look at when we see the scriptures tell us to go into all the world, we see 7 billion people on the earth. And well, we can't reach 7 billion people, right? So we don't talk to our neighbor. So we can't do it all, so we don't do any. Just break this down in some bite-sized pieces here. No matter whether you look at all and every, see, when we teach the Bible, so many of you heard Bible teachers, and we dig into the Greek and the Hebrew, the Aramaic, you dig into the text, the original text of these words. Those languages have more words in them than our English language. The words carry so often so much more meaning than our English words. But if you, no matter what translation or what language you look at this, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, these words are so big, we can't reach the world, so we won't do anything. Because they mean all and every. Right? Let's be honest. I think I can't reach those 7 billion people, so I'm not going to talk to my neighbor. I can't reach those 7 billion people, so I'm not going to talk to my coworker. Right? Right? Come on. Come on, we got some simple steps here that I want to share with you. In the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these books are written and they cover the life of Jesus up until his time of ascension, going into heaven. We just read the ending of the book of Mark in chapter 16. This is the Great Commission. But in the book of Acts, Jesus gives us the key to the application of what he is calling us to do. He gives us the big idea in the book of Acts. Let's check this out. Acts chapter 1:8 again. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It starts in our city. We can't reach our city without reaching our neighbor, right? If every one of us reach our neighbor, this city changes overnight. If this city changes, guess what? Our state changes overnight. If we reach the people in our state, our country turns overnight. If we change this country, guess what? We change the world. It starts in our city. It starts with our neighbor. Don't look to the people of the 7 billion people and think, I can't reach the 7 billion, so I don't reach the one. See, it's a progression. It's a baby step. We see it right here in the scripture. It starts with our neighbor in our cities. Interesting side note. All the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these 12 people that are called to follow Jesus at this time, they live with Jesus, they stay with Jesus, they minister with Jesus. They're going everywhere and doing everything with Jesus. They minister with him. They're called disciples, which is to be a learner. And so in these four Gospels, these 12 are following Jesus around and they're learning from him. They're learning from him. But in the book of Acts, if you pay attention to the details very quickly, book of Acts, this is the New Testament church. They all referred to as apostles, which means one sent on a mission. Well, what's different? It's the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The reason you receive the power of the Holy Spirit is to tell people about Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't know if the Holy Spirit has come upon them. It's for one mission. It's for one purpose. It's to tell this world about Jesus. You've been upgraded. You have a new assignment. You have a new mission. You've went from becoming a learner to being one sent on a mission to tell this world about Jesus, and the world starts with your neighbor. It was about 2 years ago. Pastor Matt and I, we were coming here to Newcastle. We were getting ready to launch the campus. We were getting ready to launch, looking for buildings. Obviously, this building became available. We're so blessed. We're so thankful for the school district to be able to have services in here on Sundays. But we were meeting with key leaders around the city. And one of those leaders we met with at the time, it was Mayor Mastrangelo. And we spent about 45 minutes or so with the mayor just talking to him about what we felt like God was calling us to do as a church in this city. And so we're about a half an hour into this meeting, and Mayor Mastrangelo, he just didn't seem to be picking up what we were putting down. And he just got a puzzled look on his face, and he says, "Now, what are you guys coming here to do again?" I looked at him, and I'm telling you what, the boldness of the Holy Spirit come up inside of me, and I looked at him, and I said, "We are coming to this city to let people know that there is a light and a love in Jesus Christ and that he is their Savior." Mayor Mastrangelo didn't quite know what to do with that, so I said, "Okay." But see, the Bible tells us here, we don't come in our name. We don't come in our power. What I've learned is that I go in the name of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Then you go in his power. You know, we read the rest of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an amazing book. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, after account after account after account, you see Peter and John and Paul and Philip. I mean, it's amazing. And you can look at these people and you can disconnect them from the mission. You can say, well, the Apostle Paul is special. Peter is special. Philip is special. And they are special. You're special to God. Come on, I've shared you the scripture out of Revelation. You pleased God. He made you. But don't disconnect what these guys are doing, the miracle signs and wonders that follow them, from the mission that they're on. If you want to see miracle signs and wonders, get on the mission of Jesus Christ, and they'll follow you too. These guys are special, but they're on God's mission. That's why those things happen. Come on, we have the Holy Spirit to tell people about Jesus. I want you to say this. The King has a mission for me. Let's say that again. The King has a mission for me. The King has a mission for each and every one of us. I want to look at one more passage of scripture here, and then we want to get real practical. I like practical stuff. I'm a doer. I like to do stuff. I like action. Don't like a lot of chit-chat if there's not going to be a lot of corresponding action after the words. We've got to have a lot of action. So I want to look at one more passage of scripture, and we're going to get real practical. You know, it's 4th of July weekend. I bet you're going to go to a cookout later. You're probably going to go to a cookout tomorrow. I bet you there's going to be some people there that don't know Jesus. See, that's a thing here, you know, for us that know Jesus. You know, this world that we're in is like a sinking ship. And this sinking ship that we're on, for all of us that have made Jesus the Lord of our life, we've received the saving knowledge of Jesus, the salvation, the debt that he paid for us. See, we got the life preserver. We got the lifeline thrown to us, and we got pulled into the life raft, and we're cruising along in life, and we're in our life raft, and see, we have these opportunities, like these cookouts that we're coming up to. It's our neighbor. It's the person we interact with at the grocery store. Maybe it's your coffee shop, or maybe it's whoever cuts your hair. And it's like we're in this life raft, and when we don't tell people about Jesus, we're in the raft. But we're rowing along, and you know what? There's these people outside the raft that they're drowning. And when we get in the raft, it's easy for us to say, hey, this is great for my four and no more, that I can just keep on rowing, and they're screaming out. And we just keep looking straight ahead, and we keep rowing, and they're screaming out. they're screaming out by the way they live their life when it doesn't line up with the Word of God. But let me share this scripture here, and I want to get real practical. It says, Matthew 28, 18, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm here to tell you today, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you haven't been water baptized, today could be your day. We're doing water baptisms right after church today. If you weren't prepared for that, we have shorts, we have t-shirts, we have clothes for you to change into, to be water baptized, and then you can dry off and change back into your clothes. Don't miss that opportunity. Jesus himself was water baptized. If Jesus had to be water baptized, how much more do we need to be water baptized? But I want to encourage you, I don't know if you're in here today, and you might feel like God is so far away from you. I want to read his word for you today. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm so thankful for that word, because so often I don't feel like God is with me. But you know what? I'm not moved by my feelings. I'm moved by God's word and my faith in him to me, that he is with me always. And when I don't feel like it in a situation, in a circumstance, or a trial, or a tribulation, I tell that about the word of God that says he is with me always to the end of the age. And I encourage myself in his word. This is not only God's word for you, but it's God's word to you. Man, I'm so thankful for his word. Let's look at this practically. Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is our city. For us here, it's Newcastle. Our city, it starts with our neighbor. It starts with the person across the street. It's the grocery store, the person who cuts our hair. It's at the coffee shop, the gas station. Our city starts there. Throughout Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts is telling us here to be witnesses of him. And I don't want you to have the wrong idea of witnessing. I mean, I used to think this myself. We used to think witnessing is what I can do for God, like what I'm going to show God I can do. No, you're pretty weak. We need his power. Witnessing it's not what we can do for God. Witnessing is telling others what God has done for you. Come on, we talked earlier on why we don't tell people about Jesus. Because we don't tell people because we don't think we know all the scriptures. We let that get in our way. We let the enemy attack us so that we know all the scriptures. Let me tell you what witnessing is. It's telling people what you know. You know something. If you're in here today, you know something about God. You know something about God. You know more about God than the person that's not here. You know something about God. So number one, tell people what you know. Now, you don't have to have all of this. Tell them what you know. Tell people what you've seen. Tell people what you've experienced in God. Come on. If you're in here and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, man, your life has changed. Tell people what you've experienced. Come on, I'm telling you today, the person that's standing here today, 10 years ago, we looked the same. We're two different people. I mean, come on, I was on drugs. I was an alcoholic. Tell people what you've experienced. Don't think you're going into an argument about this word. Nobody can dispute your testimony. Nobody can dispute your experience. It's yours. It's only yours. Let me show you what this looks like. I live in a condo complex, and there's a lot of people that need Jesus. Kara would say it's my upstairs neighbor. They have got the heaviest feet in the world. all day, all night. Kara's like, do you hear that? No, I don't. I'm sorry. I know it's just a funny joke, but actually it does irritate Kara. But we got all these people living in our condo complex. We got this new neighbor about 2 months ago. Her name's Doreen. Doreen and her husband Jeff moved in next door, and we got to know Doreen really quickly. Doreen smokes. I don't know if you know this, but ex-smokers are like the worst non-smokers. I used to smoke. I can't stand the smell of smoke. I hate it. It makes you sick. Like, it makes you want to throw up. If you're an ex-smoker, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the worst. And, like, as soon as we come out of our door, it's like, oh, my goodness, somebody's smoking here. What are we going to do? We're going to have to move out. But I can tell quickly in talking to Doreen, Doreen needs Jesus. And so, you know what, let's get real practical here. I started off with Doreen. This is the way I start off with everybody. I say hi. Hi and a smile. Come on, those are rare things today, aren't they? Hi and a smile. Hi and a smile turns into how you doing. No, like a real how you doing, and, you know, actually be interested in what they got going on in their life. And see, what God has taught me to do here is build relational capital with people. You know, I'm not in a rush. I'm not in a rush. This is the way I feel God leads me to witness to people. I'm not trying to cram Jesus down anybody's throat. What is it, the old turn and burn message? I'm not trying to do that. I build relational capital. This is my neighbor. I'm going to live next to them. So I do that for about a month, and then Doreen lets me know that she's going into the doctor. I asked her how her day was going. She told me it wasn't going too well. Doreen tells me that she's got some tumors, or she's got some growths on her liver, and they're concerned that it's cancerous. She's really scared. And I had talked to Doreen enough at this point. We had a good enough relationship that I could offer to pray for her. And she wanted me to pray for her, and I prayed for her. And I took what the Bible would say here is authority over sickness and disease, and I commanded those things to die and to leave her body. And Doreen went in, had the doctor's appointment, and comes back and said, they're not cancerous. And I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God intervened in our behalf. And it ministered to Doreen. And so I keep talking to Doreen. I keep talking to her. Just building that point. I'm going to get to the point where we're going to get to share Jesus. 2 weeks ago, the day of Kara's surprise birthday party. Come on, thank you so much for everyone that attended, helped to make that possible. But Doreen, it was the day. It was one of those days for Doreen. And I'm outside. I'm trying to kill some time because I don't want to slip up and spill Kara's surprise that we're having a surprise birthday party for. Just outside, I'm throwing frisbee. Got this little frisbee dog. And Doreen kind of motions for me to come over and talk to her. I could tell that Doreen was in a rough way. And Doreen, she started to share her story with me then, how she battled with depression, really bad depression. And my heart breaks for people who suffer with mental illness, whether it be depression or anxiety. Those are things that I've experienced in the past. I've shared that, and I'm thankful for Jesus and how he's healed me. And so Doreen shared this with me, and I felt led. This is the time. Like, we've spent all this time for these last 6 weeks for today, for me to speak into her life and share my testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. And I got to share with her how I used to battle addiction and how I used to battle depression and anxiety and where I'm at today. Because, see, Doreen, she knows me as the minister. She goes, you're the minister, right? That's how I was introduced to her. You're the minister. I heard you're the minister. So that, you know, when you hear that title, minister, pastor, reverend, evangelist, bishop, whatever that is, and you put people somewhere where they're not. that they've never had any issues. They've never had any problems. Pastor John, I'm thankful for his transparency. What does he say? I got the issues. We all got the issues, no matter what our title is. We got the issues. We have to stand in faith and believe in faith just like everyone else. But I got to share my testimony with Doreen. And I shared that I used to battle addiction and depression and anxiety and how God had healed me and set me free, and it gave her hope. I spent about 45 minutes there that day sharing with Doreen to give her hope, the hope that I've received in our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross for me. But before he went there, he was beaten so that by his stripes I could be healed, and I was. But you know what? I had to hear that over and over and over again for that to get in my heart and for me to believe it for me, for that to get from my head to my heart and manifest in my life. So I shared that hope with Doreen for the very first time, and she has hope. And I believe that very soon in the near future, I'm going to get to share the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to be her Lord and her Savior. See, this is real practical. Come on, I do this all the time. This is a couple weeks ago. I got home from the gym like an hour and a half late. My wife's like, what are you doing? What were you doing for like an hour and a half? And I was telling some guy in the parking lot about Jesus. I come out there and walk by his little red Mercedes. I'm about to get on my motorcycle. He's sitting there in the parking lot eating chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, wow, this is an odd combo. Chocolate chip cookies at the gym. This is a new workout, new diet. I'm going to try this out. Started talking to the guy. Hour and a half later, I just shared with him Jesus. Did I lead him to Jesus? No. The Bible says that some plant, some water, some harvest. Not concerned about the outcome. I'm concerned with doing what God has called me to do at that moment. I've done all three. You'll do all three. See, what you see in the scriptures of the apostles, they were available for God. Do you want to live the life of your dreams? You want to live a life that we can't even dream on God's level? From where I was at 10 years ago to today, I couldn't dream this. But I can tell you, when you go all in on God and in his mission, that you will live a life that you can't even dream of. And when you're living on the mission for God, we should be an expectation of everyone else that we know that is living the mission of God. When we look at the apostles here, miracles, signs, and wonders followed them. See, they were on a mission. Don't separate them from the mission. When you go on God's mission, miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you as well, because you believe, the scripture says. You know, what does this look like? It's everyday life, the people you encounter. Kara and I were shopping for a used car. We're shopping for a used car. Sitting there, the lady is telling Kara about her health issues while I'm inspecting the car. And I hear about these health issues. And see, I've had an experience of God's healing power. I hear about these health issues, and I get prompted to go talk to this lady and tell her about the healing power of God that is available. And I got up there, and I started telling her some of these things. And Karen and I simply asked, can we pray for you? This lady, let me tell you a little bit about this lady. This lady had a degenerative back disease. She had a ceramic disc inserted in her lower back. In her upper back, in the middle of her upper back, she had two rods with four metal pins. She had diabetic neuropathy from her waist down. She couldn't feel her legs or her feet. And I asked her if we could pray for her, and we did, and we prayed for her. We commanded the metal rods to dissolve, for her vertebrae to be regenerated, regrown, restored, for all of her discs to be regenerated, regrown. Commanded diabetic neuropathy to leave her body, for the nerves to be restored, for the feeling to come back in her feet. You know, when we prayed and we're standing there for a couple of minutes, and she started moving around all kind of funny. She bent over and touched her feet, which she hasn't been able to do for years. She's like, I can touch my feet. She starts dancing. She's like, I can move. She goes, you don't realize I can't do this. She's doing it. She's like, I can't do this. I got all this metal and stuff in my body. And it's August time frame. She's standing on the asphalt. She doesn't have any shoes on. And she starts doing something with her feet. I said, what is going on? She had a weird look on her feet or on her face. And she's moving her feet. She's like, I can feel my feet. She goes, I haven't been able to feel my feet in years. And she just breaks down and crying. Come on, can you say the King has a mission for me? Are we just available for God? You know, are we too busy? Come on, it's not my power, it's His power. We don't go in our name, we go in His name. Are we available for God? The King has a mission for me, and it starts with my neighbor, the people that we interact with every day. The mission is not just the entire world, and let's get lost in those 7 billion people. The mission starts with the people that we interact with every day on a day-in, day-out basis. It's in our home. It's in our neighborhoods. It's across the street at our grocery stores. Come on, it's in our city first. Come on, somebody. Would you stand up? We're going to go into a time of worship. And I believe in this time, I want you to be in expectation, anticipation of the Holy Spirit doing something new in you, imparting this message, this mission in you right now. Let's praise Him. Lord, we worship. Lord, we thank You that You are here, Lord, right now. Lord, we thank You that, Lord, in this time, Lord, we are just seeking You in this time of worship. Lord, not just to hear about You, Lord, but to experience You. Lord, we came here today to worship and to praise You. Lord, we thank You that You've come here in our midst, Lord, and You are so tangible in this moment right now. Lord, we thank You. Lord, it's so amazing that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one true God, the Creator of the universe, will come and meet with us in a time like today. Well, we don't take that lightly. We're so thankful for Your presence. We honor You in this place right now. Lord, we thank You how You're just ministering to us each individually, Lord. That You paid the ultimate price for us individually so that I could have a relationship with You. That everyone in here, that we could have a relationship with You, but it's for us personally. Let us not lose the awe of that, Lord, that You would have paid the price if we were the only one on the earth. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We know what our life was like before. We're so thankful for Your saving grace, Jesus. We thank You for how You've put us back together. You've restored our hearts. You've restored our minds. Lord, we thank You that You've taken our hard hearts and made them soft. Lord, that You've broken them for what breaks Yours. Lord, the people around us. Lord, help us to have the time for the people around us. Lord, to not be in such a rush, not to be in such a hurry that we forget about them. Lord, that we're in the life raft, they're screaming, Lord, help us to reach out to them. To be focused on the people in our lives, Lord, that are in our sphere of influence already. Let's not get lost. Help us, Lord, not to get lost in the scale of the entire mission, which is the world, but to focus on the piece that we can do right now, to be focused on the thing that we can do today. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we praise You in this place, Lord. We just give you space. We give you room to move here today. Lord, you're moving all across this room. Lord, we want to continue to worship you. We want to continue to praise you in this time. Lord, give you space and room to work in our lives, Lord, right now. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. You are so good. Lord God, you are so great. There is no equal to you, Jesus. There is no rival to you, Jesus. Jesus, we boldly declare in this your word that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. You are our banner of victory, Jesus. We lift you up. You are our Lord and our God, and we praise you. You are worthy to be praised in this place. You are worthy to be glorified in this place. You are so amazing. Lord, we love you. I would encourage you, speak it out to him now. Lord, we praise you. You are so good. Lord, our past, Lord, we are so broken. Lord, and you put us back together. Lord, we were so sick. Lord, that you healed us. Lord, we thank you, Lord. You are so great. You are so great, God. Jesus, that by your stripes, Lord, you were beaten for our sicknesses, our diseases, Lord. And now, Lord, we can be healed because of you. Thank you, Lord. You are so worthy to be praised. You are so worthy to be praised. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. You're in this place right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are so good. Isn't he so great? Isn't he so great? Remember our lives before Jesus to where we're at today. Lord, you are so good. You are so worthy of our praise. You know, I want to give you an opportunity today. If you would be in here today and you would say, Pastor John, if I were to take my last breath, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I want to give you an opportunity to change that here today. It starts so simple. It's so simple. See, we make this way more complicated than even what the Bible tells us. A very simple method to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. We make it complicated. Come on, isn't that the thing that the problem so many of us as humans do? We want to make things more complicated than they are actually are. There's like 47 things we think we got to do to get right with God and for Jesus to save us and for us to spend eternity in heaven with him. You know what? You can do 47,000 things and you can never earn his free gift. It's a free gift. It's free gift. Free gifts are easy to attain. Free gifts are easy to receive. Come on, we're making this more complicated than it is. We receive everything in the kingdom of God the same way. It's in Romans chapter 10. It says, we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how we get saved. We repent of our sins. We turn to him. The Bible tells us in Luke, if we would go back from the scriptures last week, you read the account of the prodigal son, that the moment this guy living in sin, drugs, the moment that he turned to God, the moment God was running to him, the moment we turn to God is the moment you haven't done too much for God. There's no sin. You didn't invent some new sin that Jesus is like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that one. Oh, I never saw that one before. No. No. His salvation is here and available for you today. In a moment, would we just go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes? For those of you, if you're here today and you would say, Pastor John, I don't know if I took my last breath that I would be going to heaven. To say that would actually mean that you do know that you wouldn't. But I want to give you an opportunity to change that. See, Jesus is the Son of God. He came from heaven to earth. He paid the penalty for our sin debt. He hung on a cross, was buried, rose from the third day to pay the penalty for each and every one of our individual sins. For my sins, he came to pay for your sins. And it's as simple as a prayer that we're going to pray. I'm actually going to ask everybody that is here today to pray the prayer out loud, and together with me, But it starts with a simple acknowledgement between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you would say, Pastor John, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. Hey, I don't have anywhere else to turn. I remember I prayed that prayer like 10 years ago. I was in a hospital bed just trying to hang on to life. But I felt like God was pursuing me. And I made a decision in that hospital room to give my life to Jesus, because somebody had taken the time in the past in my life to share Jesus with me and how to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And so as I laid in that hospital bed, as darkness was overtaking me and I saw a small sliver of light, what it felt like was that in Jesus drawing me in that moment, I made a decision in a hospital bed to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And everything has changed. So no matter where you're at today, everything in your life will change as well. So if that's you here today, simple acknowledgement between you and God. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, simply raise your hand right now. And I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to, thank you, God bless you. We're going to pray a prayer. We're all going to pray the prayer out loud and together with you. One last moment. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just simply slip your hand up real quick, put it right back down, and then we're all going to pray. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand back down. So if you raised your hand, or you should have, I want you to repeat this prayer out loud and together with me. Repeat this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and my life, and Jesus, I receive you now to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate with everyone? You just made the best decision in your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.